Let's play some football.
Well, we got about 12 hours
to go.
Oh, my
goodness.
13 hours to go yet, Josh.
Pace yourselves. Pace yourselves.
Can we pace ourselves? We're in a freaking bar already. Let's go.
Come on out, join us. We are out and about this morning. Colonial Club at KCK. John Stoner, our buddy, has got it open, ready to go, ready to serve you.
Are you making pizza, Stoner?
Getting ready to
make some pizza. That's right. Get on in here.
Like right the second he is. He just got up to go. Start making pizza. 322 North 6th Street, Colonial Club and KCK. Come on by and say hello. We'll get your tailgating started this morning. Chiefs and Rams coming up tonight. And, it feels like forever. I think the news cycle of it made it longer as well because we were dealing with the location issues.
Sure.
This feels like it was like the bye week and then finally to the game week, and then still having to wait till Monday. This has been a long wait.
It really has been. It's been like I feel like, remember that game a few years ago when we went out to Colorado and the Chiefs were 9-0 and the Broncos were 9-0 or whatever they were at the time, and it was that Monday night game and the Broncos absolutely ended up housing the Chiefs in that football game. But it feels like that type of game, that lead up to that game where we're just anticipating. And we said it before and we'll continue to say it, that's the most anticipated regular season game I think since that game back in 2013. Josh, where the Chiefs and Broncos were playing on Monday night, and we were hanging out at Santos Muffler Shop doing a pregame show out there in Denver, Colorado. It's the most anticipated game since then, but I think arguably the most anticipated Chiefs regular season game in a very, very long time, maybe ever, when it comes to just the fact that, you know, both teams are 9-1, both teams have an opportunity to dazzle from an offensive standpoint. You have stars on both sides of the football. I mean, both quarterbacks are superstars, both running backs are superstars. Superstars, you got wide receiver superstars, you even have defensive superstars on both sides of the ball, and coaching superstars on both
and
sides.
And referee superstars
as well, yes.
For some reason, switched up their refereeing crews to give this one a playoff-type feel, apparently.
Yeah, well, and I like it, though. I mean, everybody knows that there's a lot on the line tonight. Everybody knows that the world is going to be watching this football game and paying attention to what's going on. It's the most anticipated game, not just in Kansas City Chiefs regular season history, but one of the top anticipated games in NFL regular season history. At no time in the history of this league have we seen teams that are averaging 33 or more points per game meet this late in the season with records at 9-1. So this is an historic NFL regular season type of game. And I'll give the league a lot of credit, because for a league that just has no idea about self-worth or anything like that, like they don't know how to check themselves, you know, they've done a good job of checking themselves this week, from moving that game the hell out of Mexico with the field conditions the way it is, to assigning an officiating crew that's an all-star officiating crew, and not leaving this in the hands of Tom, Dick, Harry, and the other blind mice. You know,
that whole part of it's weird to me, because why are you treating any game any different? I mean, I understand they tier it for,
because this is going to be a ratings bonanza.
They tier it for television all the time. I get that, and they give you know your number one crew of announcers for big games, and they tier it on down. So I felt like referee crews should be that, but they have literally taken guys off different referee crews, put them on one quote unquote all star crew like they would do for a playoff game tonight.
Right.
So they're understanding the gravity of this matchup and trying to, I guess, put the best conditions possible out there for these two teams to go out and play.
And I think that's great, man. You're going to have the best field conditions. You're going to have the best, you know, announcers, obviously, with Monday Night Football. Say what you want about Jason Witten. But now you're also going to have the best referees involved, too. And I think that's important, because we have seen so many games, not just from a Chiefs perspective, and we have from a Chiefs perspective, seen so many games swayed by, you know, Lou Gotz making some, you know, ass calls back there. I mean, let's just go back to the Titans playoff game. Nobody wants a game to come down of this magnitude where on Tuesday morning everybody's sitting around going, oh my God, can you believe Jeff Triplett again with a bad call that cost the Chiefs or the Rams a football game? You want this game to be determined on the field. You want the stars to shine. You want the stars to take center stage. You don't want anything upstaging this game, and that's part of the reason why you moved this game back to the United States, because of the field conditions. You didn't want that to become a story going in, and you sure as hell don't want the officials to become a story going in and coming out of this game. So you put the best possible officials out there, not to say that they're not going to make mistakes, because even the most perfect people make mistakes all the time. It happens. And so, but you're giving yourself the opportunity to limit those mistakes being made by the officials. So I like the fact that they're doing it, and I really like the fact, too, that the NFL is embracing this as such a marquee game, because they've got an opportunity to set, I think, television records tonight from a rating standpoint. Obviously, I think the game is going to be packed. I mean, they're giving out all kinds of free tickets to fill that stadium up.
One way or another, it's going to be full.
One way or the other, it's going to be a packed game. And with the holiday week, a lot of people have taken the entire week off, so you know that people are going to be hungry for football and watching this game tonight, because a lot of people don't have to get up tomorrow morning to go to work because of the holiday coming up this week. So, I mean, this is a convergence of everything you could possibly want for an NFL regular season game, and it just so happens our team's part of it. You know, it's nice.
And there's distance now. We talked, of course, about, you know, New England getting beat before, and we're like, okay, cool, this helps. Chargers get beat yesterday, too.
Sure.
And now, dare I say house money, you can continue to stiff arm the rest of the AFC by going out and getting a win tonight in a big matchup as well.
Yeah.
So this is huge tonight.
I was talking with Stoner before we started the show, and I go, you know what's great about this game, too, is that, like, whoever loses really doesn't lose anything. You know, there's a lot on the line, but there's not a lot on the line.
I mean, they could
probably walk away.
Yeah, playing. Hopefully they play, like, a really competitive game, and it's really fun, everything, and they go, wow, that was fun.
Right.
And all right, what's next?
What's next?
And
we'll
not,
see you in February.
Yeah, never not be in a position where it's, you know, kind of life or death for your season or for your seed or what have you. So
right. There's
an opportunity tonight. Obviously, you'd give one back if you're the Chiefs in the AFC, but, man, stuff's falling around you.
Yeah,
ahead and, you know, get a win tonight and continue to keep people at bay.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. You win tonight, you got the holiday, you got the bye week coming up. I mean, this is the perfect week to
you
have
might have Eric Berry
week,
back right? after
you
the
may,
bye week.
You may have Eric
I mean,
Berry back.
All those things.
All
could,
these things start to happen, and then now you're starting to say, okay, finally things are starting to fall for the Kansas City Chiefs. We're usually at this time of the year, being a Chiefs fan, things start to trend the other way. You lose games you shouldn't lose. Guys get injured. Things happen. Now, all of a sudden, with what went on in the NFL yesterday, with the opportunity that's here tonight and the opportunity to have this bye week and then have the Eric Berry possibility coming back after the bye week, you're looking at a lot of things that are starting to fall in favor of the Kansas City Chiefs that you look back on and you go, this is why it ended up being a special season. And we're looking at what happened yesterday out in Los Angeles. I mean, that was a gift-wrapped win for the Chargers yesterday, and they gave it away. And I will say this, and I will go on record saying it, and I don't care, I would have bet money yesterday that last play that Phyllis Rivers ran, she was on the take. I mean, that was a play that looked like you were on the take yesterday.
All the script?
With a two-minute warning to go, and all you have to do is basically fall down and take another 35 seconds off the clock to eliminate the Denver Broncos in that game, and you throw a two-second play out there, and you spike the ball on the ground that was not even near anybody for a completion, and you give the Denver Broncos the ball with basically 2 minutes to go, and you let him march down the field for the game-winning field goal, man, that's a play in an NFL game or in any game where you go, boy, could you tell if somebody was on the take? That sure as hell looked like if there was anybody on the take, it was Rivers after that two-minute warning play yesterday that ultimately gave the Denver Broncos the opportunity to win that game. And so when you have things like that happen, you have to start understanding we're in the midst right now of something special that's going on with this Kansas City Chiefs football team, because everything that needs to happen is now starting to happen around us.
Starting to come together, Pepper.
Starting to come together, Josh. It absolutely is starting to come together right now.
Mitch Moore's out. Sammy Watkins, questionable. I'd like to see Sammy Watkins play in the game tonight. Hopefully he's going to be back. But I've still been in the camp, and you were a long time ago saying Sammy Watkins needs to be in this game for the Chiefs to win. I would still would like him to be healthy down the stretch, but I wouldn't mind just him getting a little revenge factor and being able to play against his former team.
Yeah, and that'd be great for him to be able to do that, but more so for me, I want Patrick Mahomes to have as many weapons out there healthy and ready to go as possible. I mean, you take Sammy Watkins out of the game, and look, we saw last week with Sammy Watkins out of the game against Arizona. It wasn't as good an offensive performance as the Chiefs have had before. Yeah, DeMarcus Robinson does some nice things, and Chris Conley can make a couple of plays for you here or there, but Sammy Watkins is a guy, just by name recognition alone, that you have to account for on every single play. He's one of those guys that goes along with Tyreek Hill and goes along with Kareem Hunt and Travis Kelce. You got to know where those dudes are. DeMarcus Robinson, nice player, but if you slack on him a little bit to make sure you got Tyreek Hill covered, you're going to take your chances with that every single day.
Chris Conley's probably going to block. You know, I mean,
yeah,
you don't
absolutely.
Worry
yeah.
as much about him,
right.
you know, running crossing routes or whatever, those things that Sammy Watkins does. So mm-hmm. it's a different type of accountability.
It really is. And so that's why I want Sammy Watkins back in the fold, not because, you know, I think they need him to win. I think they may tonight need him to win, but he also adds that other dimension that, you know, you can just breathe a little bit easier knowing that Sammy Watkins is part of this offense because it's just another guy that you have to be aware of out there on the field.
Elsewhere around the NFL, I have not watched the video. I have heard the radio call, mm-hmm. but when I saw everything going around about Alex Smith breaks his leg
yeah.
and Theismann-like, I haven't watched the video. I refuse to watch the video. I have no idea. I'm just going to say, man, that sucks for that guy.
Yeah, it does, and it was bad. I was watching the Giants game yesterday, and, you know, Saquon Barkley's doing awesome things, and they're going, let's go to Washington. And I'm like, oh, you know, they do a cut in, and they're like, Alex Smith gets hurt on this play, and you're like, oh, God. And the other one.
Ah, no, just, no.
It's dangling.
Stop. It's just
dangling there, right? Like,
just,
like it's
Bob's
just dangling
his arm.
Yeah,
it's,
like it's just hanging there.
Cool.
For
no,
whatever
I don't
reason,
see that.
33 years to the day that Theismann broke his against Lawrence Taylor and the Giants, he was in the booth wearing a nice suit yesterday. I don't know if they were celebrating the 33rd anniversary of that play or what they were doing yesterday, but Theismann was at the game, and he even tweeted, like, oh, that's exactly what happened to me. Here's how it sounded in D.C.
Here comes the blitz. They're coming clean. Alex Smith under heat. He's steamrolled at the 40-yard line. And Alex Smith is hurt. He clutched his right knee as he went down, and he is hurt. He's hurt bad, man. Look at him. He's in a lot of pain. He's got his hands over his face. I think he realizes that this is a serious injury. It was the corner coming clean, and
oh, it's his ankle.
It's like his ankle. Looks like he could have a broken ankle.
No, he does have a broken ankle. It's a broken ankle.
Oh man, how about the guy? Like, well, he could have a broken ankle. No, dude, that thing is broken. That thing was dangling there, and it was a nasty, nasty, nasty break for Alex Smith. And I know, like, people were done with Alex Smith here. Don't be happy that Alex Smith got hurt today. That guy was really, really good for this organization and took us to a level that we needed to get to before we could turn the reins over to Patrick Mahomes. So everybody in Kansas City today is probably feeling a little bit of pain for Alex Smith today. He was having a nice season leading his team. They were, you know, in first place in the NFC East, and that happens, and you lose your quarterback in that situation, and that really sucks.
My leg just aches just thinking about
that. It was nasty, man. I am not
searching out the video.
No.
I just refuse.
Well,
refuse.
You can. It's on our website at 610sports.com.
I know it is, and I've avoided it.
Yep, you can check it out at 610sports.com. Here's Jay Gruden after the game.
I haven't seen anything of the injury. I know it was very painful for him and heartbreaking for a lot of people. You know, he's a great guy and a hard worker and key leaders on his football team. So these things happen in pro football, unfortunately. Just hate to see him happen to a guy like Alex. But knowing the type of guy he is, I think he'll bounce back.
Wow, how sympathetic.
Yeah, really.
Looked like that hurt a lot. Well, that's how it goes.
The next man up here. I can't really worry about Alex Smith. He's in surgery now, but that's not my problem. Right. I got to get Cade McNown ready to go.
I didn't hear anything about it. I heard he snapped his leg. And,
yeah.
You know,
I didn't hear anything about it. How do you live in that
world? I'm sure they'll put it back on, and, you know, it's too bad for him.
I mean, that's what makes me so infuriated with head coaches in the NFL. Well, we don't really know about it yet. What do you mean you don't know? Everybody saw the thing was dangling there. He's in surgery right now. Coach, have a little sympathy for the guy who came in and basically saved your bacon as an NFL head coach this year. And that's what Alex Smith did. I mean, Jay Gruden was probably one step away from being fired as head coach of the Washington Redskins. And Alex Smith came in and kind of steadied the waters there, won some games for him, got him into first place, turned him into a halfway decent football coach.
Your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue. If you remember the fantasy pick to pop, 913-576-7610 to play.
And you almost read that, yes.
Typed in the wrong phone number. I can call this other phone number to play,
too. Or you can call the Colonial Club here and order a pizza and get your day started. Stoner's drinking a Hams already, folks, okay? The first Hams is, an MGD or what is it, High Life? We got a High Life and a Hams already open at the bar at the Colonial Club.
Type in the right phone number in front of myself, 913-576-7610 to play. Also, Fesco not very impressed with something that happened last night. We'll explain next.
Everybody knows Alex is a ball player.
Fesco in the morning.
Back in, we're at the Colonial Club in KCK. Come on by. The kitchen is open. There is the first hams of the day cracked. 322
hams
North
and
6th
eggs.
Street.
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, we do have hams and eggs.
There
I like
go.
That, Ryan.
There
That's
you
pretty
go.
Good, yeah.
322 North 6th Street. Come on out and say hello. We are tailgating, getting ready for the big matchup tonight. Chiefs and Rams. 913-576-7610 to play. You can win Smokehouse Barbecue with our fantasy pick to pop. $50 gift card to Smokehouse Barbecue and a variety four-pack of barbecue seasonings. If you know which one of the three of us had the fantasy pick to pop over the weekend, tell us who made what pick and how they did. I think someone dominated in this one.
Yeah, somebody did.
Just saying. Joe in Kearney is today's contestant. Joe, can you tell us who had the fantasy pick to pop?
Josh picked Saquon Barkley.
Is that correct? Ding, 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 ding,
it
ding,
is
ding,
correct,
ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley had a day, didn't he?
He really did. He was fun to watch yesterday.
He was really good yesterday against Tampa Bay. Joe and Kearney was not only listening on Friday when we did it at 6:15, but when we asked for it on Mondays at 6:15, he knew the correct answer and wins himself a $50 gift card to Smokehouse Barbecue and a variety four-pack of barbecue seasonings. It will do it again this upcoming Friday at 6:15 and then the following Monday. 6:15. Tell us who had the fantasy pick to pop for the weekend. You can win yourself a great gift pack from Smokehouse Barbecue.
There you go. Actually, we'll probably do that on Wednesday this week with the holiday, you know?
So true.
We'll probably scram that in on Wednesday for everybody.
Make people remember something over a four-day holiday week.
That's right,
five-day
exactly
week.
Right.
That'll,
hey, man.
That'll be easy.
Got to do it.
So, yeah, we'll do
it.
Yeah.
A total
sounds like a Wednesday
move.
Deal.
Yeah. Well, hey, we won't remember, so.
That's right.
You know.
We'll have to make sure we write that down
it's
for
exactly
ourselves.
Exactly right.
And for you. Kansas introducing Les Miles as the new football coach last night. He'll take over next season. The 65-year-old's been out of coaching since being fired at LSU in the 2016 season. Won the national title in 2007. 12 seasons at LSU, 114 wins. Been out of football, though, for the better part of two seasons. Mm-hmm. Wanted to get back in. Long-time relationship with Jeff Long, the athletic director at Kansas, and the worst-kept secret going in Lawrence is Les Miles is the new football coach, takes over at the end of the season, but they got the jump start before the finale and trying to build a little rah-rah for Les Miles.
Yeah, I guess that's what you're trying to do, and with a lot of jobs now coming open, obviously Texas State is going to come open, Colorado came open, Bowling Green is going to be open up. There's going to be some other jobs that are going to be opening around some of the more
Louisville.
Louisville's open right now as well, so you get a jump start on it. Now Kansas doesn't have to worry about going out and hiring a head football coach. They can go out there and you know, kind of get the ball rolling on some of these coordinators that they want to hire to try to get this program to the next level, But I thought Les Miles yesterday did not do a very good job at the press conference. I watched the press conference, Josh. You were up there mm-hmm. yesterday. Usually you win a press conference. I don't know that Les Miles really won the press conference yesterday. Seemed kind of scatterbrained, forgetful, not with it at a lot of times yesterday. Clearly saw the first half of the Oklahoma-Kansas game. We know that. We got that out of the way. But, you know, this is why I kind of went into this hire very, 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 very timidly, saying not a big fan of it. I found it to be a lazy type of hire because it was really the only guy they interviewed, and that's who they had their mind made up all along that they were going to go after and get as the head football coach at Kansas, and there was no outside-the-box thinking or
anything like that. There is better or worse with that, too, because there's plenty of times you do a coaching search and you're on your fourth guy by the time you made a hire.
Yeah, sure.
Kansas has been down that road as well. Charlie Weiss wasn't number one.
Right.
David Beatty wasn't number one.
Correct.
Turner Gill wasn't number one.
Right.
So there is some benefit to saying zero in on your guy and go get him.
Right, I understand that. I get that, sure. And that's a fair point as well, but my guy would not have been Les Miles, who at the press conference, you got to win. You got to win that press conference. And yesterday, I thought he looked disheveled. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. I just did not think it was a good performance. The videos are making their way around the internet. That's not a good look either when everybody starts picking up on it and tweeting about it and sending it out. And you hear from people all over the country, wow. Wow, what a just a bad, bad, bad performance he had at the press conference yesterday. I've heard from people all over the country go, man, what the hell did KU just hire? So it was not a win yesterday at the press conference. His hair dye did look good yesterday, but other than that, I just don't think he won the press conference yesterday. And I hope he goes out there and proves me wrong. I know fans are very excited about it, and that's great. I'm just not, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm excited about something when I'm not excited about something.
I think the name excited a lot of people. The resume excited a lot of people. And I was like you, though. I showed up yesterday. Like, I want answer. You know, I want to hear what you're going to do, when you're going to do it now. I've been around this program. I want to see wins, right?
Sure.
Yeah. what's going to happen. I definitely didn't get that. I mean,
no.
There was nothing definitive that said, I see what the plan is and going forward.
Right. I don't think it didn't feel like he had a plan.
That'll hopefully eventually come, but I didn't hear it yesterday for sure. Les Miles, though, promises he's going to work hard.
Oh.
I am going to work hard. I'm going to enjoy the kids that I coach. I'm going to hire a staff that is experienced.
Oh, that's it.
Okay, oh, that's it.
Right, that's it. It's kind of trailed off there at the end.
Here's what he has vowed to do: work hard, enjoy kids, and hire a staff.
Now, I did talk about the importance of hiring coordinators, and I think that is absolutely the case. If you were going to be an NFL head coach, which you're
I've always said,
Bob, you're going to hire smart people around you. And
anybody ever said they weren't going to work hard, though?
The offensive.
I'm going to come in here and I'm going to slack off all
these
the
are my
time.
Retirement years.
Well,
people.
Charlie Weiss may have kind of hinted at that.
Yeah, I'm just going to plop my feet up on the desk.
They might not have asked that question before. So, yeah, what I'm saying.
Yeah, so you plan on working hard.
So you talked about the importance of hiring an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and going from there. And those are two very, very important hires.
Absolutely.
I think with this one as well that Les Miles has tons of cachet, okay?
Right.
And he has a ring, a really big ring. Had a really big ring on last night that wasn't even the national championship ring.
Uh-huh.
So this is a guy that's been accomplished. Worst record was 8-5 at LSU,
sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
This guy has accomplished a lot. So you can put some people around him. I think that's going to have to be the goal.
Well,
right?
It's going to have to be. And, I mean, Charlie Weiss had 5 rings, too, coming in. So rings, you know, a decade ago in a different place, you know, don't really get you a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah, but Charlie didn't have his rings. He had assistant
rings. Tom Brady
rings. He had assistant rings.
Yeah.
Okay?
I got you. I
got
you.
Coach rings.
He's got a head coach ring. But, again, it was back in 2007. Here we are in 2018. The guy's been out of coaching for 700 days or whatever it's been for Les Miles. And he was fired because he couldn't get an offense going when he had guys like, you know, Leonard Fournette and Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry. I mean, like he had a litany of guys down there from a weapon standpoint, and they were winning games 9-6 or losing games 9-6 to Alabama and things like that.
It's the SEC, it's just different.
It's
Bob.
Very different down there, Josh.
But
very
yeah, there's going to be
when you have weapons like that at LSU, you got to score points.
There's going to be a challenge to score points. I would love to say you can just do something different than everybody else does in this league, but I've seen it. You can't. I mean, other than Bill Snyder, and it doesn't always work. You do have to try to score with people. So the challenge is going to be what can you do on offense. Miles says they are a class or two away from getting it done.
This place is a recruiting class or two away from being a very special football team.
That's going to be big. Mm-hmm. Recruiting's going to be massive. And there's not a lot coming in this year. They have a bunch of seniors leaving.
Right.
There's going to be a huge gap in numbers. So they're going to have to overcome that as well.
Does he have gap insurance then, too?
I don't know.
He's going to need it.
Do they have that? Do they have that for coaches? Probably should.
He probably should get
probably
it. The terms of his buyout, and Ryan, I think you sent this to us, he's only going to make $300,000 more coaching at Kansas over the next couple of years than he would have made just sitting around and doing
That's
nothing.
Correct.
So, again, when you talk about people – when you talk about people making good decisions, that one does not fall into the category of a good decision. Good luck, man. I hope you go out there and you win and you prove me wrong and you turn my alma mater into a good football program. But to say that I am doubting this hire, maybe an understatement. I've got to see it to believe it. And the last couple of years at LSU were not spectacular for Les Miles. And if you can't win at a place like that and you get, you know, fired at a place like LSU, what are you going to do with the University of Kansas? So good luck, Les, and I'm here for you, and I got your back, Billy.
We will shout it out, 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. We'll do that coming up. And is there finally some good Eric Berry news? We'll find out next.
A couple more, guys.
Fesco in the morning.
We are back in today. Colonial Club and KCK, come join us. 322 North 6th Street.
I smell the bacon cooking already, man. They're getting ready to open up the doors for breakfast and let people in here to have some breakfast to get the tailgate going. Stoner's got himself a hams already. Somebody's drinking a champagne of beers, the champagne of beers over there, the Miller High Life. And so people are enjoying that. Dustin's asleep at a booth. And the original carpet from the 60s is still on the floor here at the Colonial Club.
Awesome.
This is the quintessential neighborhood joint. And I don't know if you got the feeling driving up here today. When you drive up to Strawberry Hill in KCK, it's like the true neighborhood in Kansas City. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's neighborhood bars, or like it's a true feeling of what an old school neighborhood is all about, and that's what this bar is all about. So come on in, hang out with us today. We've got pizza, we've got wings, we've got whatever you want. There's bacon, there's eggs, there's hams, there's booze, there's everything to get your tailgate started right. And we are here until 10 o'clock this morning at the Colonial Club, and you can get Shorty's Pizza as well. I got the story on Shorty's Pizza. I bet you of all people who would get the story on that would be me, right?
Of course.
So Shorty, years ago, was the guy who ran the place, and he was short, so they called him Shorty.
You know? That makes sense.
Not like a fat guy who they call Slim, you know?
Right, right, right.
And so Shorty used to make pizza all the time, and then
Shorty wasn't 7'3".
Right, no, Shorty was not 7'3".
Shorty was actually Shorty.
And then one thing led to another. We got hams and eggs.
Nice.
Literally hams and eggs here at the Colonial Club. So Shorty used to make the pizza. One thing led to the other. He stopped making pizza. And then Stoner and the company brought the bar, and they brought back Shorty's Pizza for everybody because it is a treasure up here on the hill. So come get Shorty's Pizza. Come get some hams and eggs, and enjoy the pre-gaming with us, as we are still 12 and a half hours away from kickoff tonight of the game featuring the Rams and the Chiefs.
Let Stoner know that St. Patrick's Day, he could do green eggs and hams.
That's right. Green eggs and hams for St. Patrick's Day would be perfect.
Be another one.
They're writing it down. The marketing team is on this thing.
I'm just throwing these free ideas your way, Stoner.
Maybe Stoner writing it on the back of his hand as we speak.
Ooh, green eggs and hams.
Yep, writing that one down. It's going right into his phone. 69306 on the Protein House E with a Purpose text line. We'll shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. But there could be some good news involving Eric Berry. There could actually be a timeline. We're not there yet, but this is as close to something definitive as we've had in a long time involving Eric Berry.
Yeah, they think he could be back after the bye, and this time next week, Eric Berry could be getting ready to practice to get ready for kind of the stretch run of the season, which I think is what a lot of people were saying. You know, by December, Eric Berry should be back, and they've kind of wasted a roster spot on him, obviously, all year because they figured he would be back at some point in time. Today marks day 100 that Eric Berry has sat out of football.
I mean, Berry watch, yes.
So that's a lot of days without playing. But there's one thing about being ready to come practice, and there's one thing to be ready to go out and play. And it's going to take a little bit in practice for Eric Berry to be ready before he's ready to go out there and be 100% and play to the level we can expect, or what we should expect out of Eric Berry, you know, out there on the field. So even if he does come back next week, let's say he does play next week in the next game, I mean, can you really expect Eric Berry to be an all-star out there, you know, like he's been, you know, in years past after not playing for basically two seasons? I think that's high expectations to put on anybody, but just having that guy back and knowing that guy's back is really, really big for this
team. But give him a month?
But give him a month. Who knows? And then playoffs kick in, and that's when you really need Eric
Berry. I'm willing to try, for sure.
And especially to shut down Gronk.
D Ford, Chiefs linebacker, joined the drive here on 610 Sports Radio on Friday afternoon, and he talked a little bit about EB coming back.
I don't know. I mean, I enjoy being around my brother every day and just enjoying his spirits. We don't involve ourselves. I know one thing. I just did a very groundbreaking core workout with EB yesterday, me, him, and Steven Nelson. And we break bread every day and make each other better as players and as friends. And so that man is taking a step every day of his life to get better. He wants to be on the field. So if he's not on the field, it's for a reason. So everybody can get over that. He'll be back.
So you're guaranteed he's going to be back then?
I don't know, but he prepares every day to play
this
game.
What are you saying,
Dave? So whenever he comes back, you know that it's time for him to come back.
So he'll be back. Well, I don't know about that.
I'm not holding myself to it. I'm not a doctor. But
bro.
He's going to have a strong core. That's good.
I'm breaking bread with him, man, and that's my brother, man.
I'm glad that the term breaking bread is making a comeback.
We sit around, man, and we do, like, core workouts, bro. Like, rad, man.
That's your D Ford impression?
That was, yeah.
You should work on that before the show.
D Ford the surfer. Bob's impression there. Let's shout it out.
Duffy there.
Brought to you by Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men, 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line.
Did you do a core workout this weekend, fellas? Bro, I was with my spirit animal, Eric Berry, and we were breaking bread and doing core workouts.
816 wants to know, what's the coolest predatory bird?
What would define a predatory bird, though?
I mean,
like, do we have those anymore?
Yes. Birds of prey are still a thing.
I don't know. The blue jay, that's a nasty bird.
That's not a.
I see a lot of hawks on K10 sitting on the signs, and there's some really fat ones. I think they're doing well.
I'm going to go with the owl. I feel like the owl.
That's a bird of prey? That's a mammal.
It's not a mammal, Bob.
It breathes through its nose.
It has feathers.
Well, so does Josh.
Eggs. What? What? Are you drunk this morning?
No.
Bro, we just did a...
Bro.
We just broke bread.
Bro, I'm having hams with my spirit animal stoner.
913 says they're super excited to see how soft my belly's going to be by the end of this week.
Oh, because it's Thanksgiving and you're going to eat. I get it. That's right.
816 says my acid reflux has been out of control.
I'll tell you what, man. Diet and exercise will fix that. Since I've lost the weight over the last 2 years, I'm not kidding, I've not had heartburn.
You have to give the people the most, that's the difficult answer, Bob.
Well, I know, but I'm giving. But for 2 years,
all it takes is a massive. All it takes is a massive change to your diet and a ton of exercise.
Right,
complete change in your lifestyle.
I have not had heartburn in 2 years since I changed my lifestyle. It's been great.
Oh, well, I didn't anticipate getting this question this week, but here we are. 817 wants to know what's your favorite Thanksgiving side dish.
Stuffing for me. I love the stuffing. What do you guys like?
Turkey jumps out.
Yeah.
I'm a stuffing, but a box stuffing guy.
As long as it's not my sister-in-law's green bean casserole, I'm a big green
bean. Yeah, you really did. Have you heard anything about that? Have you gotten any feedback over the weekend?
I've not. There was no snitching going on, apparently. Everybody's fine. Everybody's fine. Also, the person who thought that Bo Pelini was just nervous at his press conference made me laugh. Not Bo Pelini, Les Miles. There's also a Bo Pelini text out here, and it got it in my head. Have you guys watched the little cartoon shorts, Gridiron Heights?
Yes.
They're hilarious, featuring Pat Mahomes.
Yes, they are. They're really good. The one this week was really good, too, where they had to move the game and Andy had to get the defense to Los Angeles. It was really funny.
Those are well done.
8161 just says, hashtag bring back real books.
Cool.
They're
still there. They exist.
Yeah, they're there. They're there. Yeah.
You can find them. There's a whole bunch of them, probably. Extras.
Let's see here. Oh, Texter has a great joke. How far does David Beatty now have to travel to work?
Less miles, right?
Less miles is the answer. Less miles.
That's not funny.
I've discovered the deliciousness of Italian rice balls.
What the hell are they?
I don't know.
Huh. All right.
Someone says Bob is my spirit animal.
That's sweet. I like that.
Thanks,
from Billy?
I apologize. Apparently, eagles hunt goats.
Okay.
Something I didn't...
Now they're just making stuff up.
Someone takes Bob's mic and give him a doobie. What? What is going on? National Monopoly Day is today, by the way.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that. What is your favorite Monopoly property?
Oh, my Monopoly property? Well, the one to own is Park Place.
Is it?
Marvin Gardens.
I like Baltic Avenue myself.
You're a Baltic Avenue guy?
I'm a Baltic Avenue guy. Yeah.
I like loading up on the railroads. That's me.
The railroads are good because you can get a great...
I mean, you can't
pause for laughter, Monopoly on it if you have them all.
There was no need to pause for that, by the way. Bob just ruined this segment. We're done.
We're done already? Shouted out?
We're done.
All right. Shouted out brought to you by Lady James. We're at the Colonial Club hanging out, drinking hams, eating eggs, having bacon, having a good old time, getting you ready for the Chiefs and the Los Angeles Rams a little bit later on tonight.
Our key play coming up and the keys to a Chiefs win tonight. That comes your way next.
Couple more, guys.
We are live this morning at the Colonial Club in KCK. Come on down and join us, 322 North 6th Street. We're getting set for Chiefs and Rams tonight. A little early tailgating this morning. If you're out and about, come by and say hello. It is time for our key play, brought to you by Broadway Deli. In the Crossroads, the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. I have refused to watch the video, but we're going to play you the audio of the Alex Smith injury yesterday.
Here comes the blitz. Here comes McLean. Alex Smith under heat. He's steamrolled at the 40-yard line. And Alex Smith is hurt. Alex Smith is hurt. He clutched his right knee as he went down, and he is hurt. He's hurt bad, man. Look at him. He's in a lot of pain. He's got his hands over his face. I think he realizes that this is a serious injury. It was the corner coming clean, and
oh, it's his ankle.
It's like his ankle. Looks like he could have a broken ankle.
No, he does have a broken ankle. It's a broken ankle.
The call on the Redskins radio network, they got to it, man. The analyst was wasting no time. Dr. I will play
Color
doctor here.
Over here.
Yeah.
Oh, looks like he could have a broken leg. No, there's no could. He clearly has a broken
Coaches
leg.
Need to wait to see the video
Sam
or talk
Huff
to the
weigh
trainer
in on this?
Or all those things. Their color man's like, nope, that's a broken ankle.
Yep.
Actually broke the fibula and the tibia in his right leg.
Which is not the ankle, by the way.
Which is not the ankle, but painful.
Well, depending on how low you go, because that thing was broken pretty low, and it was dangling there like a son of a gun.
Alex
man.
Smith
it was
is
not good.
Is done for the season.
Yep,
he is. The Washington Redskins.
I wonder how long that is. Is he back into September, do you think? Does it take a little bit longer to heal or something like that? I mean, could that be a career ender? For Alex, it was for Theismann.
I mean, I guess it could be.
Yeah,
it could be.
Of course, Theismann
feels like
it
one of those
years
like,
ago. Yeah.
That feels like one of those never going to be the same again injuries. I don't know if it's a career ender, but I
agree.
It does feel like, oh man, he's never going to be the same again.
Right, I agree. Like, is this one where that like we've seen the best of Alex Smith, and we may have already seen the best of Alex Smith as a quarterback in the NFL, and it really does stink because I know fans were ready to move on, but you don't want to ever see somebody go down like that and suffer a gruesome injury like Alex Smith did in Washington on Sunday afternoon. Oh God, it was nasty. And you can check out the video at 610sports.com.
Yeah, I will not, but if you would like to, go for it.
It was nasty. You can check out the video at 610sports.com.
I completely avoided it, and I'm good with that. The sound was enough.
Mm-hmm.
Go to 610sports.com as well. The keys to a Chiefs victory tonight.
Yeah, let's take a look at what they need to do. And I think number one is easier said than done. It sounds so elementary, but for me, stop Todd Gurley, man. He is the key to that Rams offense. And their only loss of the year, the Saints limited Gurley to under 70 yards rushing and just 13 carries, his fewest total on the season, Josh. The Chiefs need to establish their run defense early, force the Rams to become one-dimensional, and that way they can pin their ears back and get after Jared Goff. If they can hold Gurley to under 100 yards rushing, I think Kansas City wins tonight's football game. So I think Todd Gurley, number one key to stopping this dude and doing some really, really, really good things tonight.
I would agree they can win that game if they do that. Do you think they can get him under 100 yards? I have a hard time thinking
I think
they
it's
will.
Very hard to do that. I think it's very tough to do something like that, especially that we've seen out of this defense so far this season. It's hard to hold anybody now in the NFL to under 70. But when it was done to the Rams, they were able to find a way to lose a football game. Number two for me is keep Goff inaccurate. Listen to this. In two of the three games that Jared Goff passed for under 70%, the Rams struggled. They lost to the Saints and barely beat the Broncos by 3 points, as we saw earlier in the season. So if you can hold him and pressure him and keep him to under 70%, I think the Chiefs win this game. Most of his games this year, Jared Goff has been over 70% passing. That's unbelievable, Josh.
Well, what's the rub on this Rams offense? Obviously running the football, but also timing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Disrupt their timing. Make him inaccurate. He's not the Mahomes scramble, find a guy type guy. They run a precision offense, and he runs it well.
Right.
But get him out of his rhythm, and that would be making him inaccurate. And under. It's funny, though. Under 70%.
That's how good he is.
That's how good the league has become passing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's
crazy.
It is Jared Goff, but a lot of it is the league and the situation that we're sitting in right now. Number three for me is no big plays. The Chiefs do a good job of bending but not breaking. And as good as the Rams are, they're not that good inside the red zone, man. They convert at just over 55%, which is the middle of the pack in the NFL. The Chiefs can't let the Rams get a quick strike. Their offense stalls inside the 20. So I think if you prevent the big play, you'll have the best opportunity to win the game. Don't let them get the big play. make them try to score inside the red zone because they're not very good at it.
Which is crazy to think when you have Todd Gurley.
Right.
You think he'd be pretty good in the red zone.
Yep, but the Rams are average inside the red zone. Get a turnover, man. The Rams offense is the best in the NFL when it comes to not turning the ball over. They've only given it away 7 times this year. And the Chiefs' defense, as much as we bash them and they like to be bashed, they're top 10 in forcing turnovers in the NFL this year. Chiefs are +2 or better. They win this football game.
Yeah, Chiefs are going to have to be good. Neither team turns it over.
I mean,
you mentioned 7 giveaways for the Rams. Chiefs with 8 giveaways. Neither team turns the football over. This game could hinge on somebody getting that other team turned over.
Yeah, and finally for me, score 35 points. That seems to be the magic number for the Chiefs. If they can score 35 or more, they will win. As this defense that we're looking at for the Chiefs, they've only given up over 35 points 2 times this season. So one was the loss against New England, and the other came in week 2 against Pittsburgh. So if the Chiefs can get 5 or more touchdowns in this game, I think they win the football game. I think 35 is kind of that magic number for the Kansas City Chiefs this week.
You're still thinking high scoring. I'm still thinking high scoring.
Yeah, I don't 35, see 34, 35, 33, yeah. 40 to 30, something like that is going to be kind of where we sit. I think 35 is that magic number. 35 and over, the Chiefs win. I don't know if they win if they score under 35 points, you know? I think they've got to score 35 or more to win this football game.
Well, if you told me the other team scores less and they're under,
yeah,
then I would say they win.
Yeah, I agree. I got you. Like, yeah, if the Chiefs score 33 and the Rams score 32, do they win?
Yes.
Yeah!
Yes, they do.
They
so
win.
So if you give me the final score, I could tell you whether or not the Chiefs
are
win.
You still on the over for tonight? I heard Ben Maller talking, driving up here to the Colonial Club this morning, and he's talking about, well, I don't know if I'm going to take the over. There's too much that goes into the over in this game. There's too much risk. What if Mahomes gets hurt? What if Goff gets hurt?
Oh,
what if there's
stop.
Penalties? What if, I'm like, oh, boy. I mean, you're making a good case for not taking the over. I get that. But I still feel like, man, this is going to go over that 64.5.
It just feels like game in the 30s.
Yeah,
I'd be surprised.
On each side.
I would be surprised if it's a, it could go high 20s. Mm-hmm. It could be a 28-27.
I don't think it is. I don't think that's enough points.
But I don't feel it. I feel like this is over each team over 30.
Yeah.
So
I got the Chiefs winning tonight 38-37.
That'd be a fun one.
Yep.
You can check out the keys to a Chiefs win at 610sports.com. Chiefs and Rams are getting special treatment from the NFL. Les Miles is convinced KU is close to greatness, and the Browns are really thinking outside of the box. All in headlines in 2 minutes next.
Fesco in the morning.